And the last time, I believe we stopped in verse 13, if I'm not mistaken, or thereabouts. But let's just do a quick refresher, because it's been about 4 weeks now since I left you with this in this study. It says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let us consider for a moment. When the word of God says here, the power of his might, the greatness, the strength, the force, what is this power? Have you ever considered what this power is? The power of his might, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. What do you think it might be, the power of his might? You should know it. Holy Spirit? That's good. Prayer. What? Love. That's been the theme of Ephesians. It is love that makes faith work. True? And faith, you know, the Bible says there are three things that work. Primarily in the kingdom of God is faith, hope, and what? Love. And the greatest of these three is what? Love. The greatest of it is love. In Ephesians 3, it talks to us. Let's just look at Ephesians 3 just quickly. What did I just do? Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, if this thing cooperates with me. Ephesians 3, come on. That's why the old-fashioned way is better sometimes. Okay. In Ephesians 3, it says, in, let's look at verse 18 through 20. It says, 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by how? Faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints. So it tells us that our ability to comprehend, to understand, to receive, to be in an abiding state in the power of God's love with all saints is through being rooted and grounded in love, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the what? Fullness of God. How we filled with all the fullness of God? Love. Huh? We rooted and grounded in love. We assimilate, we receive, we keep, we walk in the knowledge of God by faith, but it's love that is making everything to be established. Then it goes on, it says in verse 20, now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly, now unto him that's able to do, unto him, not unto us, but unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That power that worketh in us is the power of love. Amen? And if you want to grasp it in real terms, God is what? God is love. So if God is the one who's working through us, then love is what's working through us. Make sense? Okay. So in the absence of love, God is not working. God cannot work outside of the presence of love. And if that is the case, then you must know that the devil knows that too. And if he does not want God to work in your life, then he's going to create the atmosphere in which love is not operational. He's going to create an atmosphere of strife. He's going to create an atmosphere of bitterness. He's going to create an atmosphere of unforgiveness. He's going to create an atmosphere of anger, quarreling, fighting. Create an atmosphere where people are not operating in love, but in divisiveness, no unity. The power of God is released in the place where unity is. The anointing is released in the place where unity is. And you cannot have true unity without having true love. Make sense? So, everything that tries to steal love from you, let's put it this way. If you don't want somebody to do what you are doing to you, then you know that you are not operating in love when you're doing whatever it is that you are doing. Make sense? If I don't like people betraying me, then I must not betray other people. Because betrayal is not an act of love. Flying under the radar and doing crooked things and plotting and manipulating, that's not an operation of love. And so when that is happening around you, you know the devil is setting you up. And one thing I've found out is this, from the Word of God, is that people who immediately, the starting point of a dangerous act doesn't necessarily receive the full impact of what they are doing. It goes down to the next generation. It goes down to the next generation. So the person who is doing it right now does not have the full impact, the full manifestation of whatever evil they are doing. Their children and their children's children, the next generation, they get it. So, Ham does something wrong, and when he's been cursed, the Bible says, "Curse be Canaan." Do you understand? Ham was the one who did it, exposed his father's nakedness. But when the father, Noah, wakes up and understands that this guy just sodomized him, he said, "Curse be Canaan." So that's how Canaan got cursed. But Ham walks away free, seemingly. So because something is not happening to you right now does not mean that you've escaped. There is an impact, but the greater impact goes down to the next generation. And if the next, it's a spiritual law, it is superseded by the law of God's word that you activate in yourself. But if your children don't know what to do, they suffer the consequence. And a lot of us many times suffer the consequences of whatever it is that has happened before us. And when there is no presence of love, it accelerates the impact of a curse in a life. It handicaps you when you come in to fight a battle. So this power of love has to work in us. He says, unto him, when this power of love is operational in our life, then God is glorified. Amen. Now let's go back to chapter 6 and continue with what the Lord is trying to say to us. It says, "Fire and brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Be strong in love. Amen? Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. This statement, put on the whole armor of God, has a two-part meaning to it. First meaning is, put on the armor of God in the sense that it is an armor that God gives. Okay? It's God made, God given. That is one meaning. Put on the armor of God is also, strangely enough, means the armor that God has. So it's an armor that God gives to you, but it's also an armor that God has. Just like Saul had an armor and gave his armor to David, but it didn't fit, God has an armor. Amen? God has an armor and he gives that armor to you. It's the same armor, same kind. That is the dual meaning of that statement. Put on the whole armor of God. So that certain things happen, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In essence, if you don't have the armor of God, you do not have the ability to stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickery of the devil, the deceptive ways of the devil. You have to have the armor of God. Strangely enough, when Paul tells us about this armor of God, it seems like the concept and the idea that he's led us through from the beginning of Ephesians 1 until now, which is primary love, it seems like it is taken out of the picture. But no, it is not. Because two things. You put on the whole armor of God so that you do not become a casualty that people are going to weep over. So if you love me, and if I love you, I make certain that I am not a casualty that you will be mourning over, crying over, that will become a distraction to you in the battlefield. So I do everything to stay alive. Make sense? Does it make sense? So love becomes, okay, I was watching a program with Mama the other day, and I saw some things on television that were really bad, different ailments, sicknesses, diseases. And I was watching this, and I started mumbling something, and Mama said to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm asking God to help me to carry an anointing to solve problems like this. She looked at me and, okay. I meant it. Because there are doctors right now that are researching, doing all kinds of things to solve that same kind of a problem. It's not just because they want the money. Money is good. But sometimes it's more than that. It's caring, wanting people to live well, to do well. They do all their research to make life better. Now, there are evil ones that do evil things. But generally, it's about love. Some kind of love may be misguided, you know, I want to help this person die. Well, it's because the person is in pain. There's a greater law than that. The law that of life. So we try to solve the problem of pain, and we can't solve it, so I want to kill you. That's not what we're talking about. But basically, the reason the person is trying to euthanize somebody else is because they are expressing some kind of love or care. Do you understand what I'm trying to talk about? Okay. So, but they're doing it the wrong way. We too, as God's people, need to understand that there are things that we need to do to help people break free. And it's not just about you, me, myself, and I. That the reason I pray, the reason I study the Word of God, the reason I fast, the reason I do whatever it is I do as a child of God must not just be about me, myself, and I. It must be me being ready to help somebody else. That makes sense? So you study to help somebody else. Just like the nurse went and studied so that she can be a nurse, and if you're in trouble, she's there to help. You do everything to help. Because if love is not the driving force in what you do in life, you will get frustrated and you will quit. Because money is not everything. Money is not everything. It's the willingness to help somebody else. People who get burnt out, got into whatever it is that they are doing, not because of love. Now, that's a serious statement to make, because there are pastors that are burnt out. There are doctors that are burnt out. There are people that are burnt out for whatever reason. Love energizes you. It does not burn you out. When you are suffering burnout because you're working so hard, you must find out what is driving you, what's making you wake up every morning. Is it because you want fame? That has nothing to do with love. You want more power? It has nothing to do with love. You want to be known? Has nothing to do with love. I want people to know that I'm a disciplined person. It has nothing to do with love. Love will make you get up, do whatever it is that you want to do, and no matter how difficult it is, you still do it. And it's like you are not doing anything. People will be looking at you, you're so busy. And you say, busy with what? I'm not busy. Now, same thing comes. Now, when we're talking about spiritual warfare, I did make a statement to you the last time I talked with you. I said, all spiritual warfare is what? Do you remember? Huh? No, not carnal. Huh? Decisions. There you go. I have somebody in class. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All spiritual warfare is about decisions. When you zero it to the common denominator, it's decisions. And therefore, you're doing spiritual warfare every single moment of your life. And it's the decision, the greatest decision of all, is the decision to love. Amen? How do I deal with this situation? How do I handle this? And so the wiles of the enemy, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery, the deceptions of the devil. It says, because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is not your real problem. It says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or heavenly places. Okay? These are what we're fighting against. Principalities. Now, principalities is the first level. But notice what it says. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. Yeah? So, basically what it's saying is this. Flesh and blood may be what you think you're fighting against, because that's what you're seeing right in front of you. But that's not the real problem. The real problem is what is behind them. Yeah? So it's my brother, my sister, my fellow believer, my co-worker that is acting wickedly towards me, and God says, there's something operating behind. And rather than attacking this person here, because if you attack this person, that power over there is going to find somebody else. And find somebody else. And meanwhile, you're busy killing everybody. But there's a real enemy that's still there. The devil. Yeah? Okay. So, it says, we're dealing against principalities. Now, what is a principality? Notice it didn't say you're dealing with witches. It says principalities. Now, what's a principality? A principality is a prince of a polity, just like you have a municipality. So a principality is a prince over an area. So we have the north end. That's an area. We have EK, East Kildonan. We have West Kildonan. We have Transcona. And on, St. James, Garden City. These are all areas. And there is a prince that operates in these areas. So sometimes you can look at a particular area in the city and you'll see a particular spirit or mindset that's operating in that particular area. Garden City is not like St. Vital. There are two different areas. They may have the same buildings or same kind of buildings and same kind of stores and whatever, but they are totally different. Totally different from St. James, totally different from East Kildonan. Every area has a particular spirit that's operating in that particular area. And every one of those spirits has an intention, a purpose. There's something they want to accomplish that is devilish. So you can raise a child here in Garden City, and the child will act a particular way, move that same child to St. James, and that child, the same child, will act differently in St. James because of an influence of the spirit. Make sense? Okay? So these are principalities. They are wanting to control a particular area. Then we have powers. Powers go beyond the city, polity setting, and the powers deal more in terms of a country. So, Canada is different from the United States. They're borders. We have common border. It's different from Mexico. Are you with me? So you have powers that are operating in different... You go into Europe, and from one country to the other, they're different. That's powers. And within those countries, different cities have different mindsets. We together so far? So we're talking about powers. Then it goes on, and it says, rulers, rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, rulers of the darkness of this world have to do with forces that are global in their intent. So you understand already we're talking about hierarchy of powers. Yeah? We're talking lieutenants, we're talking captains, we're talking you know, major generals, generals. We're talking different levels. And each one has a different authority. Yeah? Okay. Now, so we're talking about global. These are spirits that reign in this realm. Rulers of the darkness of this world, these ones, they take control of a world system. Now, these rulers of the darkness of this world, this is the spirit of the Antichrist. So, when we're talking about rulers of the darkness of this world, if a particular mindset is operational, the rulers of the darkness of this world make it viral. So, if there is a law to euthanize people, rulers of the darkness of this world all of a sudden start affecting different governments around the world, and everybody wants to do the same thing. Okay? So, we want to pass laws for homosexuality, and everybody starts doing the same thing. Rulers of the darkness of this world, they are in charge of those kind of things. They're global. Are we together so far? Okay? Then we have spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, these dudes, they are not just dealing with world, your natural world system. They are affecting every spiritual effect. They are the ones that affect everything. This is where you have the devil proper. Yeah? You know, the devil is not operating everywhere. You know, yeah, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it. Some principality may have made you do it. You know, some power may have made you do it. You know, some spiritual wickedness may, but the devil, you know, the devil is over all of this, and his demonic hordes. Now, demonic hordes, that's not a right phrase, using the word demonic in this sense. But there is an overriding force that wants to influence everything right through the system, down to the principalities. And now we have the little demons and those who practice witchcraft and satanic acts, and those are the little ants. But we're talking principalities dealing with cities. We're talking about powers dealing with countries. We're talking about rulers of the darkness of this world that are dealing with a world system, and we're talking about spiritual wickedness in high places that influence all of that. Now, there is no way that you and I as believers can deal with these things and overcome them without the power of God operational in us and through us. You cannot deal with any of these guys in your own ability. It's not going to happen. You have to have God in you. Ephesians 3, rooted and grounded in love, that we may be filled with the fullness of God. In other words, God says you need to be God possessed. Huh? We have to be God possessed. Just like people get devil or demon possessed, you get God possessed. And the manifestation of being God-possessed is that you are operating in love. That's a proof of it. Amen? That's a proof of it. I am God possessed. I love. I walk in love. I operate in love. I do whatever it is I do in love. And I give no room to the devil. One of the statements we read, I believe in Ephesians 5, it says, give no room to the devil. Don't let your anger, right? Don't let anger so run your life that it goes down on you. Love. Love. Wherefore, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Take it, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Basically, the word of God is saying there is an evil day, and you need to be able to stand in that evil day. And to stand in that evil day, you need to put on the whole armor of God. And it's going to start telling us what that armor looks like in just a moment. But it is imperative that you put on the whole armor of God so that you are able to withstand in the evil day. There is an evil day. The evil day is the opportune day that the enemy has set apart to target an individual. Says, okay? And it has nothing to do whether you're doing right or doing wrong. It's just an evil day. You are the target. You're the one that the enemy is going to shoot at. He's going to throw everything he's got at you. And the one thing he wants to accomplish during that time is for you to fall out of love with God, fall out of love with your fellow brother or sister, fall out of love with your spouse, with your children, with whatever. That is the one thing the enemy wants to get to. Your walk of love. That's the one thing he wants to get at. If he can get at that, then he's got you. So, if the devil wants to set you up, he does this. He brings somebody that will find every way possible to push a button in your life to make you act like them. If you find somebody in your office who is agitating everybody, that's a devil plant. And the best answer to that person is not necessarily throwing stones at them, just like they throwing stones at you, is to love in spite of. That's how you disarm. In spite of. What is the loving thing for me to do in this situation? And whatever it is that you do, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's in church, whether it's in your family, whatever setting it is, the most powerful weapon that you can use is to be armored with love. That's how. So, you think, what is a loving thing to do in this situation? How do I deal with this situation and deal with it from a spirit of love, not reacting, but responding in love? Now, love does not mean always nice, nice, nice. Love sometimes means, okay, I'm going to confront this person and tell them to stop it. This is not right. You stop it. Because not saying something means that the person continues doing the same thing over and over and over, and to their own destruction, and not recognizing that there is a spirit that is working with them to create confusion and bring destruction to their lives. So my loving act will be, deal with it, speak to the person, don't do this, this is hurting people, and this is hurting you, this is not working out this way, or so on and so forth, and bringing healing to that situation. Now, other times, the loving thing, like Paul says, throw the person out to the devil. Yeah, he says, throw the person out, and when the devil starts smacking them, pull them in and say, did you learn your lesson yet? No yet? Go. Yeah, we'll send you out into the minus 50 cold, and when you're freezing, we'll check out whether you really like the warmth. So love has a purpose. Amen? It's not always fuzzy. Sometimes it's tough. Yeah? But there's a reason behind it. The reason is, I want the best for you. It's not about me. It's about you. But it's also about me. But most of all, it's about God. Amen? What would God do in this situation? You know, years ago we used to have, what would Jesus do? Right? You know, yeah, it's just about love. How do we handle this? Because you are going to fight battles. There is a day that the enemy looks for to target you. And what he wants to target is the operation of love in your life. Because if love is not present, watch this now. If love is not present, the word of God cannot be manifested. If love is not present, the word of God cannot be manifested. The most dangerous thing that the enemy faces in your life is this one here, the word of God. This is really his target, the word of God. But the word of God is held together by love. In the connection point between love and the word of God is this space here called faith, that also have hope attached to it. If he destroys this does not exist in your life. This is powerless. This has its own power. It will always be powerful, but it will not work for you. This, how do I put it? Wheel, axle. Yeah? Okay, axle is faith. Will here. The enemy wants to disconnect this from that. If I can get love away from you, you will not listen to the word of God. Yeah? You're not. It doesn't matter what I say, you're not going to hear me. Because the connecting point, and if I have love and I hear you, I'll have faith. I'll have belief. When we communicate with each other and there's love there, I believe your word. Yeah? Okay, so if the enemy takes love out, there's no way for me to believe what you say. But love believeth all things. And all things come out of the Word. Nothing was made outside of the Word. If you don't hear me, we've got a problem, a love problem. If you don't hear your wife, or your wife doesn't hear you, we've got a love problem. Because the only way that you're truly going to connect and hear each other, understand each other, is if love is present. As long as love is present, it doesn't matter what the enemy does, you will connect. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So this is the next. You stuck. This wheel is moving. You hear. Word works faith. Love. Love works. Word. I got stuck out there just a moment ago, and my wheels were spinning. I knew I didn't. If I start moving back and forth, I'm going to wreck my trance. So, okay, what do I do? Go to a lower gear. Reverse. Go to a lower gear. You're going to come out. I said, okay, I'll do that. So I went lower. That's when love goes deeper. There's a time when love goes deeper. You have to make, you know, there was a teaching years ago, I think it was Gary Smalley, says, love is a decision. It goes past feelings. You have to decide to love. And the reason you have to decide to do that is because it's about you coming out of this battle. It's about you winning this battle. It's about your prayers being answered. It's about God hearing you and you hearing God. It's about everything. It's about everything. Love. You cannot overstress it, and you cannot water it down. You got to just make the decision. Love was a loving thing to do. Make that decision. Understand that this is the way that you're going to save a brother. Understand that this brother or sister is not your real enemy. There is a force behind pulling the strings. Let me wrap up with this. Wow. If this is how the enemy operates, through lines of authority, it is imperative that we cut off the lines of communication. If spiritual wickedness cannot communicate with rulers of the darkness of the world, of this world, cannot communicate with powers, cannot communicate with principalities, if we can break the connection points between them, then there's no transfer of information. There is no common purpose. There is disunity in their rankings. Make sense? And so when we are dealing with some serious issues, we need to find out from God how we cut off the lines of communications. Because believe me, before cell phones and FaceTime, the devil knew how to communicate. I know. I've seen it happen in my life. When I got called in ministry, I'm in a different city, like I'm in Ottawa, and no phone calls, no letters, nothing. Within hours, my uncle that's in a different city takes off when I was placed on the altar as the offering to God, takes off and comes looking for me, my dad. Who called him? Nobody called him on the phone. There were no phones to call nobody. And he was too far away for anybody to travel down to tell him what happened. And then he gets dressed up and comes. He found out somehow, spiritual. You think, you know, you're doing something and you're hiding. No. The devil sees you all the time. Yeah? You're under his radar all the time. And so he looks for an evil day, a strategic time to strike. Don't give him an opportunity to strike and succeed. The Bible says if he strikes, have the whole armor of God on, so you are able to stand. And after the dust settles, you'll still be standing and he will be done. Amen? And the only way you're going to be rooted, remember, you're rooted and what? Grounded in what? In love. So you're not going to be uprooted. Huh? When you're rooted and grounded in love, when it finally settles, you're like the palm tree. The storm comes and it just bends and comes back. Doesn't matter. You come back. Any which way the wind blows, you're still there. Amen? You're still there. Final words. There is a connection between love, faith, the word. And Jesus, our Lord, said this. He said, if you love me, you will do what? Keep my commands. Remember that? If you love me, you keep my commands. Now, the wise man is the one who came, heard his words, and did it. The foolish man is the one who came, heard his words, but did not do it. The wise man who came, heard his word, and did it, built his house on a rock. And when the storm of life hit that house, the house stood. Yeah? Foolish man built his house on the sand. Came. He heard the word. Did not do it. Storm comes. House collapse. Yeah? Wise. Foolish. Wise. Foolish. A wise man. If you love me, you will do what? Keep my commands. You will do it. A wise man comes, says the word of God, does it. Wise man and a person who is walking in love is what? No. The wise man and person walking in love is walking in what? In love. Yeah? Walking in fullness, walking in the power of God, walking in the goodness of God, and is established. Yeah? Okay. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be what? Established. Yeah? You believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you what? Prosper. Oh, so what do you think the devil wants you to do? What is the greatest... What is the greatest effective weapon the enemy wants to use to bring destruction to the life of a believer. He doesn't want us to what? Doesn't want us to believe in God. Huh? He wants to separate us. Okay? Disharmony, strife. Huh? Take your joy. Yeah. You know what you've not mentioned in all of your answers? Not to hear your prophet. That's the bottom line. If the enemy can separate you from your prophet, he separates you from the manifestation of God's will in your life. Does it? And the reason the church of God is suffering today in different ways is there's a disconnect between the people of God and the prophet that God has placed in that life. If you can make that connection, you continue to forge on. You separate that, and disaster. Sooner or later, it is through the prophetic. You know, Paul says to Timothy, fight a good fight on the basis of the prophetic word that you have received. Yeah? That's how you fight. We're not wrestling against fight a good fight based on that. If you can't receive that, you don't enter. Well, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your love. We are thankful for your grace, for your goodness. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful, Lord of God, that you are the God who daily, moment by moment, you're the God who's transforming us into the image of your dear Son. We receive your love. Let your abiding love keep us, protect us, direct us. Let the connections that we need with you establish us. Let there be a connection, O God, between us and the prophetic that you have for our lives. Be magnified, Father. Change. Bring about your supernatural change in our lives. Help us to believe the prophetic word. And may we, O God, effectively dismantle every work of darkness, because we believe in the one that is sent. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise God.